Blog Talk Radio.
All right, greetings. Yeah, this is Nazim Rashid. Welcome to Imam Albert Muhammad's show, Religion Means Alive. And my show I have on Wednesdays called Improving, Repairing, Preparing for Marriages, Part 13. Yes, Part 13. If this is your first time calling in, listen to the program, please. Please go back and hear the rest of them. You can download them all for free also. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Imam Alfred. And look for, when you scroll down, Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages, and get the whole set. Now, for you regular listeners, you know I did a series before this on addictions and recovery. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, this is a similar program today because I'm going to talk about addictions as relates or as it affects marriages. So we understand. Now, most of us understand, you know, the deleterious effects of addictions in relationships. However, there are subtle aspects of addictions that we might still have ourselves, that we might still be guilty of ourselves. See, we have to purge that out of our lives also. So we're going to talk about that, codependency and character defects, all those kind of things, because we want to have the very best qualities and characteristics in ourselves so we can attract the best in our mate, and both of us being best believers, best healthy individuals, come together, merge our lives together, and have a wonderful union. Yes, called marriage. Absolutely. You're deserving of the best. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You should have the best. So tell yourself you're going to have the best. Yeah, don't settle. Don't settle. Please don't settle. No. And don't get married all because you feel you should be married. Forget it. Be fine all by yourself first. Yes. Be fine there. Be healthy there. Smile there. Love yourself first, all by yourself. Go to the movies by yourself. Go to shows by yourself. Go to concerts by yourself. Love that. And in loving that, you'll attract loving energy towards you. Then you'll find a mate that does the same thing themselves. Need to come together as healthy individuals. You hear that? Healthy. Now, this might sound strange for some of you. Oh, yes, I know. I'm like that, too. I didn't grow up seeing healthy relationships, healthy marriages. I didn't see that. Most of you did not see it either. See, children be what they see. And as you regulars know, I always go back to childhood. How we were raised, what kind of home training we had or didn't have. Because all that reflects. When you meet someone that you say you want to be married to, look into their childhood. See how they love their mother, how they love their father, how they love seeing a healthy mother and father loving one another. Yes. Okay? And I talked about this earlier, and it might be the second, third part, I don't remember right now, in the series, of what a child sees as they're looking at mother, as a boy is looking at mother, as a boy is looking at father, as a boy is looking at them coming together, as a boy is looking at the unit, treating them in a certain kind of way, and as a girl, does it's different now. Girl looks at the mother, little girl looks at the father, little girl looks at them loving one another or not. The children be what they see. Everything they see, they're like dry sponges, and they will absorb anything in their environment and consider it normal. Hear that, please. Hear that, please. That if there's dysfunction, fighting going on in the household, the child perceives that as normal, something that they should do themselves. After all, they were programmed to be programmed by the parents. So whatever the parents do, child would pick up as being okay. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So since we didn't have that, most of us did not have that. I'm telling you, it's really something. I was talking to my mother last week about healthy family dynamics. You know, and she didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Connecting with the children. Connecting. She had no clue. Well, even I spelled it out and wrote a script for her. I said, Mom, if you say this when I do that, that'll make a big difference. She had no idea what I was talking about. She couldn't follow me. She couldn't follow me. She had no idea. I said, what are you talking about? See, because in her day and age, it's like, I'm the authoritative figure. You're the son or daughter. Hey, you do what I say, and that's it. Yeah, no such thing as free expression and expressing your feelings and emotions and want to be cuddled that kind of way. You want an emotional connection. That was unheard of back in those days. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. So what happened? We have dysfunctional children and dysfunctional generation. You see? Yeah. We didn't have that. Now, just a few days ago, I was over at one of my students' homes, Jewish family. Complete different dynamics. Man, it felt so wonderful. You know? The mother's in the kitchen with the daughter. They're both cooking something. She's complimenting the daughter and just praising her up and down. You know, saying she has some great qualities that she didn't teach her. Says, well, you know her name Hannah. Hannah, well, I don't know where you got these qualities from, but you sure know how to cook in the kitchen. Man, this is good. Yeah, you're good. I love working with you. Show me how you do that. You know? And so she was honoring her, validating her. Man, what a connection. And I asked her about that. She says, well, my parents, she grew up in a two-parent loving household. You see, so she did what her mother did. See? Yeah. And that's the father, same thing. He said he came from a loving two-parent household. So I said, man, so they just did what they saw them do. So naturally, she was healthy growing up. He was healthy growing up. They came together. They're both lawyers. Met at the firm. You know, follow me? Yeah. So being healthy is natural for them. They grew up in healthy households, Jewish households. See? Most of us did not have that. So we have to learn how to become healthy human beings formally. I had to do it, you see? Then we had to learn how to become healthy spouses. We had to learn how to attract the right spouse into our life so we can have a healthy marriage. We had to learn these things. We had to go to school, listen to these programs, get my book. Matter of fact, everything I'm talking about today is based on my book. See, I have over 20 years in mental health and drug counseling fields. Oh, yeah, I've worked in group homes and facilities. I've seen some pretty horrible things. You know, things that would be unbelievable. You know, I was certified as a dual diagnosis counselor also. That means I could deal with clients that had addictions and drug addictions and mental health diagnosis together. How to differentiate one symptom from another. Yeah, I work with those groups also. We're the juvenile delinquents. So I've been out there. I went through 12 steps myself. I was addicted. I dealt drugs. I sold drugs. I mistreated women. Yeah, I came through that portal. I came through that. Became Muslim. Turned my life around entirely. But see, I had to learn these things. You know, I'm certified in conflict resolution. I've conducted peer counseling classes. Communication and listening skills. Yeah. Well, I had to learn these things. I didn't get it growing up. I was afraid to talk to anybody. I was so scared to death. You see? So that's what I'm doing with this program. I'm passing on what I have here. And the book is called Reconnected, How to Be Mentor to Your Child Self. Get this book, please. Get this book. Reconnected. It's a basic human manual. My next book will be a little more on an advanced level. We'll talk about how we can rewire our brain so we can have automatic success in our lives. Program ourselves so we automatically win every time. Yeah, that's my next one. This one, Basic Human Manual. How to Be Mentor to Your Child Self. Amazon has it. Barnes & Noble has it. If you have a Nook or a Kindle, you can get it that way. My site, after the three W's, we have cloudsofabundance.com. 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 Got that? Cloudsofabundance.com. And if you order it that way, I actually will sign it and mail it to you personally. You know, it's a 14 chapter, 412-page book, you know. Costs about $20 for the shipping. It's a serious book. All right? And the chapters are just like the stages you have to go through. Get to the point where we can actually go back in time and become the mentor. Yeah, this is a strange concept, but you can actually change the feelings of the past. This is how we erase those old voices telling you what to do and not to do. You know, letting the past become your present and future. First stage and first chapter is forgiveness. Then we have validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image. Again, these are the chapters and the steps you have to take. Communication, listening skills, vital. Optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality. Attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery. Identifying and managing emotions. Last chapter, how to be the mentor to your child self. When I say child self, I mean that little self you once were. You start by getting those little pictures of yourself when you're looking right into the camera. Cut it out, crop it, you know, so you just have just your, like a headshot. Tape it into your computer monitor on the close by wall, something, some place where you can see it every day and send love to that little one. I'm talking about, you know, like age of 5 to 8 years old, you know, that period of time. Yeah, yeah. Send love. That's your child self. That child self is still living inside of you, needing you to support it because it didn't get the support from its parents, didn't get the validation from its parents, didn't get the right kind of modeling from its parents of how to be a healthy person, how to fend for itself, how to talk, how to establish, you know, themselves in society. That's what the men do for the boys. You know, how to have healthy relationships. That little child self did not get it. Now is looking to you to help him out or her out. Sounds like a wild concept. There's only a book of its kind out there. It's in the inner child therapy category. But, it, you know, there's no child subcategory out there. This is the first of its kind. So get it. I have a lot of counselors who have endorsed the book. They say the same thing. First of its kind. They're using it in their practices. Get it. Okay? Very, very important. Very important. And as I'm supported in this effort, I can travel and spread this message everywhere. On my show, the Reconnected Show, I have over 12 countries who have tuned in. I love to visit those countries, and I plan to. With your support, I can do that. Okay, very important. All right, as we lift one another up, remember, as you lift me up, I lift you up. You know, we climb up. As we climb up, we lift up. That's how we do it. Okay? Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right? Now, last week we talked about addictions, you know, and the 12 principles of recovery that's part of a recovery program, you know, but it's not just for those who have drug addictions. No. It's also for learning how we become the best in marriages because we have a lot of called character defects that prevent us from having a healthy marriage. A lot of character defects. You see? Yeah. So what I'm going to do, I started last week, going to 12 principles, seeing what fits, all right, that we can talk about so we can, you know, clean up those areas in our lives so we can, you know, have a clean space there. Clean space instead of all dirty and soiled and moldy, you know, all that kind of stuff carrying around. We need to have a clean vessel. See? Yeah. Now, the second principle says, we came to believe that Almighty God, the power greater and outside of ourselves, also inside, could and would restore us to sanity. Okay? Yeah. Now, faith is very important. I have a whole chapter on faith in here. I'm going to talk about it here right now. It's very important in this process. See, just like marriages, you have to go in there seeing what your eyes do not see. You understand that? We have to believe so strongly that God has rewarded us with a healthy believing mate, that we see beyond what our eyes see. We see us connected spiritually, emotionally, not just physically. connected. So they truly have our back. And you're connected on that level. You start thinking one another's thoughts. You start finishing one another's sentences. You feel warm around them. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Faith is a very important process. Okay? Faith indicates a belief in the unseen and also a belief in a power beyond our comprehension. A belief in a divine being that can rescue us from our lower selves and our fallen human condition. You understand lower and higher selves, don't you? Of course you do. Yeah. A lot of us have been operating from our lower selves. That's why we have so many problems. Yeah, for sure. So it's a belief in a divine being that can rescue us from our lower selves and our fallen human condition. A belief that the same divine being can and will make us aware of what he has already created in all of us. A belief that God alone has created within us our salvation, recovery, and complete fulfillment of our lives. That's in scripture right there. Complete fulfillment of our lives. This is faith. You want to have a good marriage? You got to have faith. See, this understanding, and this is actually, I closed out on this last week, so I'm kind of reiterating this from last week, a little part here. Very important. This understanding shines the light of responsibility squarely on our shoulders, instead thinking that we are too weak to save ourselves, and therefore we need someone or something else to save us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, for sure. This is very important, all right? Now, let everybody know, a lot of people are calling in. Very important. If you want to talk, just hit that number one on your telephone pad, and I'll bring you in on the conversation. And with that in mind, we have someone right now. Area code 908-463. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm honored and privileged to be on the air and listening to the program. And all I can say is it's a sin and a shame. I've been preaching for the past week and will continue on repentance. And my repentance is that we should ask God to forgive us and have mercy on us, that we're not telling more people outside of our association about this powerful message. There's somebody right now that's having a marital problem. There's somebody right now thinking about getting married. There's somebody right now is thinking about divorce, and somebody who will get divorced and will repeat the same mistake over and over again. And the reason they're going to do
that is
right. Because they're not listening to reconnection. So tell your neighbor, tell your friend. You know, we have this valuable program, and right now I'm supporting it out of my pocket with a few donors. But we want to grow this program to 25 and 30, 45. We feel it's the inheritance of every African-American. All some would say, oh, shut up, Brother Imam. It's the inheritance of everybody. No. Our parents in Mississippi,
yes.
Georgia, Alabama, whose families were broken up to get a first priority. If you go into an emergency room, and the guy that has a heart attack and the guy that had a hanged nail, yeah, they're going to take care of you with the hanged nail. They're going to take care of you with a nail in your feet. But the guy who comes with a heart attack with an asthma problem, they're going to take care of that guy, those two people, first. It's called triage. And the person that is most in need of treatment is this ex-slave from Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, these United States of America. We have had this severe whooping, and God has blessed us to have a healing message through a great leader, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and through our great brother, Dr. Nazim Rashid, who has dipped into the well, and he's bringing us pure, fresh water. So I just thank God.
Yes,
I'm just sitting back listening. I just had to bear witness and tell everybody that's listening to the program, 10 people, to tell 10 people that reconnecting is on the escalator. They don't cost anything to listen. We got space on for 300 and 400. You can just, all you have to do is go to your cell phone. But don't be selfish. You know one of your children having a problem with Ray Ray. You know one of your children is having a problem with Keisha. You may be having a problem yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't no shame in having a problem. There's shame in not solving your problem. So I'm just going to shut up, sit back, and continue to listen. I've been listening for the past 2 weeks, but I've been silent. But I just refuse to sit down and hear a powerful message and not leave bad witness to it. Thank you, God. Peace be on you. Keep on being reconnected to your natural self that God has given you through our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Nazim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you said a whole mouthful there, brother. Whole mouthful. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Am I clear right now? Because sometimes I'm getting a lot of broken signals. Am I clear with you right now?
Yes, sir.
Is it clear coming through?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. You know, very good, very good. Well, I always appreciate the Imam Alfred Muhammad, as I always tell people all the time, that he opened up this slot for me to deliver the series. And it's important for us. You know, I never take credit for myself at all. You know, I'm just a vessel. You know, God has blessed me with, you know, a little bit of knowledge, and I just pass it on. See, it's kind of like football, you know. In football, you have team members that are passing the ball. The ideas get to the goal. They don't care who gets there as long as someone gets there. It's the ball that gets there. It's the message that gets there. You see, so I'm just carrying the ball, passing on, carrying the ball, passing on. Hey, I'm not the ball. I'm just a messenger. I'm just passing it along, you know. And so I'm just doing that. And so it's important that we got to see ourselves as that, you see. It's not about us. Please, please, you know, those of y'all have a little bit of knowledge, you know, anything you get comes from Almighty God. Anything you get is not yours. You can't create anything. You can't create a fly. You see, the idea that we pass it on, we give thanks, pass it on, and as we do that, we receive more to pass on. So that's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing. And I'm telling you, if we just had, you know, this one area down, if we just knew how to have healthy marriages, if we just could get that in order and do what it takes to have that part, man, we could change the world today. You see, because the devil loves to come in between the husband and wife. That's his greatest joy, come in between husband and wife. He gets like a wedge. He loves that. That's his best victory. See, so in order for us to make sure that he doesn't win, we got to make sure it's closed. But we can't do that if we don't feel good inside ourselves about the whole process. Don't just do it because someone else said do it. The imam said do it. Your religion, I'm talking to the universal audience. So whatever your religious leader title might be, and they say just do it because you're supposed to do it, don't do it for that reason. Don't do it because you were dictated to do it, or you may feel guilty if you aren't married. Don't do it for that reason. Like I said before in the beginning of the program, be happy by yourself. Start there. Go from a position of happiness and joy and connectedness to God, yourself. Then you'll attract others who feel the same way about themselves. Then you'll have a happy union. You see? Yeah, because God is all in there, all in the picture. So I really thank Imam Alfred for saying a few words there. It was a little broken up on my end, but I'm sure it came out clear to everybody there, you know, so I'm sure it was. So I appreciate that for sure. And I'm going to leave it, you know, mic open in case you want to say something else. But moving on is very important. We're talking about faith. Faith, okay? Now I'm going to talk about that song, Amazing Grace, that a lot of you have heard. Maybe hum yourself every time somebody dies, okay? All right, I'm going to talk about that right now. It's important. Now, why am I doing this? I'm doing this to get us to see what we're doing to keep ourselves back and what we need to do to step ourselves forward. Okay? Yeah. Like I was saying before, a lot of us still have the savior complex, thinking somebody is going to save us. You see? Yeah. I have a sign on my door I talk about all the time. It says, "No one is coming. God sent you." Again, no one's coming, God sent you. What are you doing? All right? Yeah. Now, back to this whole savior complex. You might reflect on the words of the song Amazing Grace. The lyrics contain these words. Part of it says, "To save a wretch like me." Y'all remember that. To save a wretch like me. Now, we sing the song, and don't bother thinking about what we are affirming every time we sing those words. Who said we are wretches that need to be saved anyway? Why are you agreeing to call yourself a wretch? How does that build self-esteem and your positive self-image as God really wants for all of us? Many of us are satisfied playing the victim role or the incapacitated role because in this kind of position, we don't have to face taking responsibility for our life. This is comfortable and convenient. See, with this new belief in this principle, as I taught about principle two, we realize that what we can physically see and feel is not the real resource for us, but only an illusion. It is what we cannot see that is our saving grace. See, we have to believe that what we cannot see, which we relate to God, will restore our sanity to us. Our sanity. Because, you see, a lot of us have insane lives. We internalize insanity. Yeah, we do. Then we get married. We bring insanity into the relationship. There's chaos and drama. You know? You say, what happened here? It happened because you brought it there. On some level, you're comfortable with chaos and drama. On some level. On some kind of accepted level, you're okay with it. And so there it came in with you. Now you're saying, I don't want this here. How'd that get here? You brought it, you see. Yeah. Now let me clear up this thing about being outside of ourselves. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, God is more than that. It's reason, okay? Even though I stated in the second principle that God, the power, greater and outside of ourselves, could and will restore us to sanity, it needs some clarification. Yes, God does represent power greater than ourselves, and yes, God is outside of ourselves, but God is also right inside of ourselves at the same time. You see, I had to distinguish the power being outside of ourselves because many of us believe that their power lies within themselves. Oh, yeah, ego. Or in other words, it's like the addict personality or the lower self within. A puffed up personality. We know people like that. They refer to the lower self instead of the higher self when they say, I can do this. I can defeat this thing. I can do better next time. I can figure this thing out. I got the power. Mm-hmm. Well, it is just like the petty thief who, after being put in jail for his crime, thinks about what he did, right and wrong, and comes out with a better plan for a bigger crime. See, in his mind, he didn't think the whole thing through enough, and so after having some time in jail, he consults with his lower self and initiates his new plan. The thinking is the thinking of a thief. Just like in the early example, see, the addict is using the addict mindset regarding his condition. Yeah. Just like the controlling mindset, same thing. You know, you like to be with your women, or vice versa. Bully mindset, same thing. Same thing. So with that in mind, I state that the real power is greater and outside of ourselves. Understand it? Okay? This way, you cannot use the addict mind, but start to realize that it is another outside of your way of thinking that can restore you to sanity. Got it now? See, the recovering addict knows that their way of thinking does not work. So in order to have sobriety in their lives, it has to be a power and a new way of thinking that is outside or something other than the mindset that the addict has been depending on up until now. It has to be something else. I realize that I cannot do this on my own. I need a new paradigm. I need to be directed. I need guidance and an assurance that my new path will lead me to my new productive life. I am ready to have God, infinite intelligence, the creator, sustainer, maintainer of all the worlds. Everything I see and everything I can't see help me to see his light and his wisdom with his way. I realized after trying it my way that I don't know the way for me. Every attempt I made led me right back where I started with a bottle, joint, needle waiting for me. I am ready now to submit to a higher power than what I thought I had. That's nice. You see, this realization leads us to the next principle coming up, submission. Now remember, now don't think I got off my topic. No. This is very important to healthy marriages. Because you got the ego in there, you know? Ego, E-G-O, edging God out. When ego is controlling your life, God is not there. You see? Remember, you can't create anything. No. So, when we hear, will restore us to sanity, we need to realize that the addict's life, I'm including the chronic abuser here, abuser, controller, whatever, okay, is a life of insanity. Insanity is defined by the Webster Dictionary as, unquote, unsoundness or disorder of the mind, a mental illness, extreme folly or unreasonableness, end quote. Another definition there states, quote, such unsoundness of mind that is that one is not responsible for one's actions, end quote. See? This is attractive to the diseased mind of addiction because you want to dissolve your responsibilities and do whatever your mind takes a notion to do. I know I'm stubbing some toes saying this right now. I know some of y'all don't like this. You know, on the switchboard, a lot of people came on, a lot of people went off, you know. It's amazing. A lot of folks don't want to hear this. This is attractive to the diseased mind of addiction because you want to dissolve your responsibilities and do whatever your mind takes a notion to do. This is one of the attracting qualities about the world of drugs and alcohol. You know? Oh, yeah. All your cares and woes, responsibilities and commitments are now dissolved and you can do whatever you want to whomever you want. If anybody questions your behavior, you can just say that you are now insane and therefore not responsible. Not my fault. Remember the old saying, the devil made me do it? See? It's easy and stress-free. Stress-free. This is the kind of conversation that the lower self has with the conscious self. See, when the conscious self listens, then it enters the dark world of addiction and dysfunction and ego-driven behavior. See, this new principle is saying that God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, knows and loves you in spite of yourselves. He can and will restore you to the world of sanity by showing you the tools of recovery that he has already placed inside of you. Man, did you hear that one? God can and will reconnect you to your higher self, which is the God self within. With this reconnection, there will be influences that only guide you toward that which is life-giving. Man, the voice you hear and feel with this connection will be the voice of a righteous lifestyle. Oh, yeah. A lifestyle that demands that others are served in one capacity or another. And a lifestyle that makes it mandatory for you to be an example of life production and establishment. This lifestyle also motivates you to be a reflection of God's characteristics. I talked about that before, too. Yeah, for sure. Remember the talk on 99 attributes? Oh, yeah. Go back and hear those. Yeah, that might have been part 11, maybe. Maybe part 10. Hear all the parts. You'll hear it. Okay? Addicts. Okay? Now, remember, when I say addicts, you know, don't say it doesn't belong to you because I'm talking about the chronic abuser, ego-driven person. Okay? Yeah, a person that wants to do their own thing, regardless of it being right or not. Okay? So, keep that in mind. Also, you know, addicts, because some of y'all are addicts too, so, you know, it fits. So addicts have negative dependency traits that can be also included in this insanity category. It is possible that, like so many others, there existed dependency imbalances before the addiction. Yeah. This is known as one of the gateways to addiction, a pre-existing personality traits. Now, selfishness, self-centeredness, fear-driven, self-delusions, self-pity, and hedonism are all some common traits that addicts tend to have. Now, did I hear some? Hear somebody say, "Oh, that's me." Did this shoe fit on some of y'all's feet? Yeah, yeah. You can see that if these behaviors are not recognized by us, not corrected, they can be deadly on one level or another. Yeah, and can you see this? Boy, I'm telling you. It's very, very important to understand this. A distorted self-image is another aspect of our insanity. Yeah, a distorted self-image. Woo, I'm telling you, this is something else. You're seeing what you think is there, not there. See, we don't see ourselves as worthy receiving the needed help from others or even being chosen to receive anything good at all. These beliefs work against us and keep us sick and in the dark world of dysfunction and addiction. See, when we abuse our bodies, both on the exterior and within, we say to ourselves, well, that's what I deserve. Why do you think that you should get anything other than what you are getting right now? You are being punished because you are wrong as a person and really don't deserve to be here in this life. See, these are voices that you talk to yourself, see? You are just in the way. You have no worth at all except for the service and whim of others. I'll just take this shot, drink, line, or hit, and at least feel good for a while. At least then my self-esteem will be raised even just for a little while, and I can smile and laugh again. See, there's a conversation between the lower self and the conscious self. See? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very important. Very important. See, the addict carries suspicions and mistrust constantly. So when they are approached by well-meaning, giving people who sincerely want to help with treatment, food, or other social services, they reject them, thinking that they have some ulterior motive. It may hurt them. Quote, why are they approaching me? They say that they used to be in my condition and that some program they completed helped them. They don't look like me. I can't believe them because they look happy and I can't relate to anybody that looks and acts like that. Oof. Why would they choose me for this kind of help anyway? I don't deserve this. I'll just continue to get by the best way I know. Unquote. Now, as they continue to share their story with the addict, we'll call Jim. He starts to identify with their past life. He is now interested and wants what they have, even though Jim thinks that his situation is different and hopeless. If you don't see yourself as a winner, you'll never win. An addict's perspective mindset has been damaged. They no longer perceive anything correctly. Events are channeled through the filter of the addict's perspective. And then what they see and receive as real is what they are told by their addict's mindset, real or not. I hope y'all follow me here. They are not seeing and receiving what others, non-addicts, are seeing, enjoying, and totally receiving. You see, the blue wall to you is some other color to them. Got that? The sweet-smelling rose to you is a thorny, dangerous object to them. An opportunity for self-reliance to you is an opportunity to them to show how they can fail again. See, an addict believes that life is not great unless they're high. You see? Yeah. This comes under the category of denial. Now, I'm telling you, you know, some of you sisters, some of you women out there have husbands who are addicts, active addicts. Someone doing heroin, cocaine, cigarettes, alcohol. They got their little flask in their pocket, the little brown bag they carry around sometimes. Huh? And you enable them. You allow them to keep that position because of a distorted image you have of marriage. So both of y'all got a problem. Yeah, for sure. See, we want to have healthy, happy marriages out here. So there's no room for codependencies, unhealthy attachments, addictions, ego-centered mindsets, abusing mindsets. None of that. There's no room for that. Not one taste of it. None of it. None. So it's very important to understand. You can have a clean and sober life. You see, I'm telling you, a lot of times when I talk to people about healthy marriages, they say, it's only on TV, only on the Cosby Show. You know, people don't really live like that. I say you can have a life where there's no profanity, no fighting, no drinking, no yelling, no screaming. No, no drama. They say, who lives like that? Who do you know has a marriage like that? Who do you know, my household's like that, for sure. God's my witness. You see, yours can be like that, too. You know, you don't have to have filth as a part of your life. Stress is a part of your life. You know, high blood pressure is a part of your life. You don't have to have that. See, a beat down every time your husband or wife comes home. You don't have to have that. That is not normal. Stop it. You know, and stop getting married over and over hoping that the different wife or different husband is going to cure these problems you're bringing to the relationship. Yeah, people getting married 2 or 3, 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times trying to get the right one. Well, I'll throw the dice. Maybe the next one might be the one for me. Stop it. Stop it. Clean up. Clean up the past. Clean up those old voices telling you that things are okay. The next one will be all right for you. Stop it. That's why you got to get this book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book I'm reading and expounding from it right now. Yeah. My site, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Barnes & Noble has it, and Amazon has it. For those listening outside of the country, you have to go to Barnes & Noble and Amazon, get it that way. Go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it. And those in the States, if you have a Barnes & Noble close by, you can go right in the store and you might have it on the shelf. If not, they can order it for you. Get it. We need a basic human manual so we can have a healthy, happy life. First as an individual, then as a married couple, as a unit. Okay? Very important to understand that. You know? Now, some people think that that if you have an alcoholic as a husband or wife, they still can't take care of business as far as, you know, keeping a job and so forth. That's not true. Excuse me, I had to get a little water there. That's not true. There is what's called functioning alcoholic. Functioning alcoholic, functioning addict. Just so you know, because it's important to know these things. A functioning addict is one who can maintain a regular job and function as any other sober, responsible adult functions in society. He or she has a car, makes their payments on time, rears a family, secures a job or business, earns salary raises, has a high esteem in others' eyes, and carries out his or her responsibilities like anyone else. Anyone witnessing this individual would never think that they have a substance abuse problem and or is a chronic abuser at home. Hello. This person lives his or her life as a fraud to themselves. They somehow manage to fool everyone around them and wins in getting what he or she needs to maintain their stable position in life. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But they are harboring deep resentments inside. Yeah, did you know that? Yeah, for sure. They are constantly thinking about the weekend or when they get off that day, when they can abuse themselves or others. See, life in between for them is an act that they carry out. They really don't understand how others can live totally without drugs or alcohol. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The addict wonders how they can work and deal with day-to-day stresses, various relationships on and off the job, sometimes unpredictable ways, children and all the expectations they present and demand, financial management duties, getting older and dreams unfulfilled. You know, addict wonders how they can work and deal with those things. You see? Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, for those listening live right now, I just opened the chat room. I should have done earlier. So you can actually type in questions or comments in the chat box right below my picture and email Alfred's picture there. Yeah, you can type it in right there. And if you're calling, you can always hit the number one, and then that'll bring you in on a conversation, and I'll talk to you and find out what your question and comment is, okay? All right. But by the way, my website again is cloudsofabundance.com. My email is nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right? Okay, very important. Nazim Rashid here. All right. Now, it's amazing to me how the functioning addict functions, you know, day to day. I have an uncle I love dearly in Chicago that fits the category perfectly. He loves his whiskey, which he consumes every day, but somehow he manages to keep a job, run an accounting business, maintain and cherish a wife and family, and generally keep a stable life. He might be incoherent every night, but during the day, in early evening hours, he's like the rock of the family. The family can always depend on. When he sees me, he says, as he's waving his half-gallon bottle of whiskey, "Hey, boy, don't you want some of this with your cornflakes?" He laughs afterwards, takes a drink, and smiles at me with eyes that always have a red tint to them when I can see his eyes at all. But if you saw him during work week, midday, he would look completely different, even though his eyes never have that bright whiteness to them. It is amazing to me how he can do that kind of switch. I don't get that. You know, that's really something to me. You know, but he does it. Yeah. So we got to watch that. See, living life is not good unless an addict is inebriated. Distorted thinking and negative thoughts about themselves, others, and the world dominate the addict and become the only reality that they accept for themselves. Now, when you believe that a power greater than your own understanding and mindset can and will restore you to sanity, then that power will do just that. Allah says in Islamic traditions, "I am as my servant thinks I am." Cool. So if you believe that God will restore your sanity back to you, then God will do that. If you believe that God won't or can't restore your sanity back to you, then God won't. It all comes right back to belief and faith. See, once you believe that you are worthy enough to be saved, the spiritual doors open, and your sanity, stability, sobriety, and other blessings come racing toward you if you just believe. Like those saying goes, miracles happen to those who believe in them. Yeah. Yeah. Is everybody getting this? Hope everybody is getting this. It's so important. So important. You know, and this goes back to what I said before about how people settle, you know. You know, the sisters, you know, they settle. They to the point where they don't even think that God can give them a mate they can have all their own. They gotta share the mate with two or three other sisters. You know? This happened in religious communities and outside, on the street too. So the men are so promiscuous, they say, "Well, If I could just be a good number two, I'll be satisfied. Yeah. I used to teach in a pregnant and parenting high school. I heard those girls saying the same thing. Well, if I could be a good number three, I'll be satisfied. Knowing that the boy, you know, they're boys. All they are boys. They got other girlfriends out there. See? That happens in religious communities. You know? Well, if I could be a good number three or four. You know? And they said, well, you know, the difference is they say, well, you know, I'm marrying them, knowing that in this country, you know, what kind of rights does a second, third, and fourth wife have here? You see, if something happens, what kind of rights do you have? You know, you got to, you know, go along with the law of the land. You see, there's no rights there. And so it doesn't work. Then suppose the third one finds somebody they really fall in love with, you know, at a grocery store. What's going to happen then? See, so don't think there's any restriction or lack in God. There's no lack. You deserve the best. The best. Sisters, you deserve the best brothers as husbands. Brothers, you deserve the best sister as a wife. Don't settle. Don't compromise your values. Don't lower yourself. Don't do that. Yeah, focus on the higher self. Forget the lower self. You know, it did what it had to do to help you get strong and be strong. Use your strength now to be in that higher self. Be there. Very, very, very important. All right, the third principle. We made a decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Again, we made our decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Now, that's good. That's the third principle of this recovery program. It's also something that we, you know, should say during the wedding vows. Yeah, this should be said during the wedding vows. We made a decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Yeah, that should be part of the wedding vows right there. So all you religious leaders out there, hey, I'm imploring you to take this quote, take this third principle here, and insert it into your sermons there when you're marrying couples. Made a decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Absolutely. Oh, yes. Learning to submit to someone or something is very challenging to our earthly egos. Now, some people say, well, I don't like the word submit. I'd rather surrender instead. Okay, fine. You like surrender? Then say surrender. Okay? Yeah, because submit does have some ugly kind of connotations to it. I understand that. If surrender sounds better to you, then say surrender. Okay, fine. We don't think that we should submit to anything or surrender to anything, not realizing that when we are using drugs, we have subconsciously submitted to that drug or surrendered our lives to that drug. It is the same idea with chronic abuse. Submission means to give your will to, not just agreeing to the other party. It means to allow your inclinations to be led by the object of submission. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Submission means to give your will to, not just agreeing to the other party. It means to allow your inclinations to be led by the object of submission. It means changing your likes and desires to fit the will of God as much as our understanding allows us, as we are stating in this third principle. Submission means to let go of ourselves to ourselves. Oh, man, got that one? See, we have to address the cultural, accepted standards and social norms that throughout our entire lives and allow another force to come in and reshape our entire mental frameworks. Mm-hmm. I was reading a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he was talking about how we can transcend our conditioning. Transcend our conditioning. It's very powerful. Very powerful. But like I said before, we be what we see. That's what children do. They be what they see. Yeah. So we have to break away from the cultural norms of our family in order to have a healthy marriage. Yeah. We grew up with certain rules to follow in our immediate environment and on the street. And those standards formed our sense of what is good and what is bad. We learned to like certain foods, certain styles, certain environments, certain kinds of people, and certain ways of functioning. We call it surviving. The older we get, the more those accepted ways become ingrained within. Now that our life has crumbled right before our eyes, we are finally ready to go through the portal. Yeah, of transformation. Oh, yeah. The portal represents the point of transitioning from your old way of being to your renewed way of being. It's so important. Man, I hope you imams and preachers and ministers out there would use this in your wedding vows. Man, as your wedding sermons, you know. Boys, you know. Woo! Old paradigm to the new paradigm. Old resentful mindset to the new receiving mindset. You know, again, the portal represents the point of transitioning from your, then I have these lists of things, low self-worth. Low self-worth consciousness to your high self-worth and esteemed soul. Old desires, dislikes, and preferences. Your new desires, interests, goals, and inclinations. Old vision of yourself and the world to your new visions, insights, and self-realizations. Basically, old you to the new you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of us like to carry on, you know, carry some of our past stuff with us. But we all, you know, most of us came from the, you know, damaged home life and our cultural norms that we accepted as being okay. We have to, you know, clean our detox ourselves from those things. If they don't serve our higher self, they have to go. Bottom line, they don't serve the best in you, aligning with what God has for you, then get rid of it. Throw it under the bus. Get rid of it. See, fear has been a dominant factor in your life. Some element of fear probably started your addiction path, or abuser path, you know, controlling path. When you face depression every day, it can get to an awful, fearful point. You don't want to face it. There it is again, paying you a visit. Don't like how you feel, and you fear the outcome if you give in to it. So here comes the joint, the needle, the bottle, the powder lines, all calling your name. But this reminds me of the words to one of our greatest master jazz singers, Billie Holiday. Yeah, I love Billie Holiday. Song entitled, Good Morning Heartache. Y'all remember that song? Yeah. Wish I could sing. I could sing it to you. I'll just say you some of the words. I'll just recite some of the words to you. Good morning heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning heartache, though we said goodbye last night. I turned and tossed until it seemed you had gone. Here you are with the dawn, which I forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning heartache, what's new? Stop haunting me now. Can't shake you no how. Just leave me alone. I've got those Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues. I wish I could sing that. Cool. See, you must decide to act in spite of fear and not act driven by fear. Certainly, there are risks involved, but risks are no stranger to you. You took a risk every day using, abusing, and living a dysfunctional life. Absolutely. Now, if you want to like to beat up on your wife, yeah, try it on your coworkers. See what happens. It might knock you out or kill you, take you out. Or road rage, somebody might take you out on the highway. You're risky all the time. You know, you're lucky that nothing happened to you. Thinking you're a big man by breaking your wife's jaw and all that. No. This program is a program of action, and it is through this action that real internal changes take place. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And as you are stepping, they become easier and easier. Your mental thought patterns don't change overnight and don't have to be completely transformed in order for you to start receiving help. It is in the stepping process that by and by your thought patterns start to transform. Now, as your thought patterns transform more and more, your steps become firmer, more convicted, and then you start stepping with confidence. So, yes. Remember, confidence comes from experience. Oh, yeah. This third principle requires us to be aware of what our past thinking and attitudes were and how we must change them in order to carry out our decision. See, we have to know what we are submitting and what we are now releasing from our lives entirely. Let me say it again. We have to know what we are submitting and what we are now releasing from our lives entirely. Okay, now check this out. Our taste in the food might change. Our favorite colors might change. Our style of clothing might change. Our goals will change. Our desires regarding our mates will change. Our circle of friends will change. Our view of family might change. Our walk, your swag might even change. Our view and acceptance of God in our lives will change. Our sense and acceptance of responsibilities will change. Our commitments will change. What makes us smile will change. What brings peace to our hearts will change. Are you ready for that kind of change? Are you ready for that? See, when I lay these things out like this, talk about, you know, breaking down various aspects that we need to have in order to have a happy, healthy, fun, loving marriage. Some say that's too much, man. Hey, that's just... Brother, sounds good, man, but it's too much. I got to do all that? Just like it'd be okay with a mate, you know what? Answer is yes. Just, you know, stay by yourself. If this sounds too much for you, just stay by yourself. You know, but then you say, man, I don't like it. I need somebody here. I feel too lonely. I feel, you know, missing. I feel something lost. You know, I need to have somebody here to keep me company. You know, I don't like it being by myself. Why? Has insecurity visited you? You feel insecure and like something missing? Find out why. You got to feel fine by yourself. You know, your mate cannot fix you. Don't marry just so somebody can fix you and you know, cook your own dinner and clean the house up. Hire a maid for that. You see? Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot. Might seem like a big pill. That's why this is the 13th installment of this series, Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages. 13th one. They got a whole lot more to come. I'm breaking every little thing down. We're going to talk about anger management. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff coming up. You know? So it's important to accept and internalize what I'm telling you so that you can use that as you're cleaning yourself up and preparing for the great task called marriage. And if you are married, it's a way of repairing and this way allowing the marriage to evolve to a higher state. Make sense? Yeah. I want everybody to get this. See, our old accepted major character defect of self-centeredness will be a great weight taken off our shoulders when we release and submit. Our whole world was based on our feelings, our wants, our desires, our hates, our biases, and our hedonistic lifestyle. Other considerations were definitely a backseat idea. Our decisions were based on our high, being supported or not. We said, quote, can I still get high in doing this thing or not? End quote. As long as the high was not being interrupted, then the idea was considered. But if the high was compromised on any level, the decision was looked upon with contempt. Know something? Learning a completely different paradigm can and will be our new self-reality. This paradigm shift says that we are here to serve others. Yes, and to be a miracle and a resource for others. It will take a while to fully make this an everyday internal mantra, but with time, consistent affirmations, faith, and deeds in this area, it can be accomplished. Man, that's a mouthful for sure. Everybody get that? Okay. Remember, I always try to repeat my personal information so you can talk to me. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. My website, cloudsofabundance.com. cloudsofabundance.com. You can order the book right there. Yeah, do it. Now sign it and mail it personally to you. Okay? Very important to understand that. So I hope everybody's getting this. You see, there are things we have to release, things we have to allow to come in. You see? Yeah. Get rid of some stuff and take on some stuff. Now, the fourth principle, we made a searching, fearless, emotional inventory of ourselves. Again, we made a searching, fearless, emotional inventory of ourselves. All right. Oh, by the way, there's even right now talking about something being timely, a movie out called Addicted. This girl, a little fine actress, she has a sex addiction. Some kind of way her body compels her to have sex. Just have it. It doesn't feel right. She's got to have somebody inside her as much as possible. Yeah. A lot of people have sex addiction. That's real. They have sex addict farms and places you can go to take care of that. Yeah, for sure. Of course, my 12 principles here can take care of a lot of that also, but they need additional help. Okay, in the fourth principle, we made a searching, fearless, emotional inventory of ourselves. We need to find out what is motivating us to do the things that we do. Yeah. What is motivating you to do what you do? Huh? In this fourth principle, we learn that there are certain inclinations, characteristics, emotions, and traits that synergistically work to create our emotional inventory. We need to know what is in our internal cabinet. We need to make a list, an inventory to see what we should keep and honor and what we need to discard and never let back in. Honest self-assessment is one of the keys to our new way of life. When we were using, we were not being honest with ourselves. Remember, if you're abusing, same thing, abusing, lying, conning, you're not being honest with yourself. See, we begin the getting honest process when we admit that addiction has defeated us and that we need help. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Very important to understand that. You need help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. Yeah, please, don't. If you need help, please ask for it. See, so we begin writing down our traits or character defects, such as jealousy, greed, lust, procrastination, hatred towards others and self, insecurity, pride, fear, depression, loneliness, lack of self-worth and love, lack of love of children and family, lack of open-mindedness, lack of willingness to try new ideas. Okay? Now, those are character defects. If you look at jealousy by itself, jealousy, now you know good and well that destroys a lot of marriages, jealousy. A lot of you women, sisters, are scared of your own shadow. You see? And if your husband, you know, looks at someone else's glances or compliments another woman, you know, I'm going to go home and beat him up or cause the argument saying, I know you liked her. Why are you looking at her like that? You don't look at me like that. I don't get a compliment like that. You like her? You want to be with her? And all he did was just give her a nice compliment. You see? Jealousy. So jealousy keeps you up at night. You know? That's a problem. That's a character defect. And you should work on that. You know? Work on it by yourself. Get a counselor. Get this book reconnected. Don't say, well, I'll be fixed through this marriage. Who's going to fix you? Want your husband to fix you of your jealousy? Doesn't work like that. Or vice versa. You know? Doesn't work like that. That's a character defect, and you need to get rid of it and detox that out of your system entirely. That's part of your emotional inventory I was talking about here. You know? Yeah. So, very important to understand that. See, there are plenty of healthy traits in all of us. But unfortunately, many of us can't see these traits because they are concealed by all of the negative characteristics that prevail in our present realities. Before we can see the beauty, we have to clear away the brushes, clear away the bushes of the imposing cultural, societal, environmental standards that we have accepted as our internal makeup. Doesn't matter how long we have held onto certain behaviors or how we won't be accepted anymore in our social circles. See? It's important. I'm telling you, a lot of y'all can't do this. But hear me. If those traits do not serve the higher aspects of you, throw them out. Your mother might not like you anymore. Your father might not like what you're doing. Your brothers, sisters, cousins might feel you're leaving the family and say, how dare you disrespect this family like that? Don't you care how breaking away from our traditions is making us feel? What? Your buddies might talk really bad about you and say you are a sellout. You might find yourself alone a lot, maybe feeling abandoned by those who love you love and respect, those you love and respect. All these things might happen. So what? If those old standards do not serve your higher interests, they have to go. If the people you know are attached to those old standards, then they have to go as well. Kick them out. That's it. Done with you. Bye. See ya. Done. Okay? Now, I'm going to investigate some commonly held character defects between addicts and chronic abusers and ego-centered people and contrast them with their positive counterpart. So you can't just talk about the bad. You got to know what to kick out. You got to know what to bring in. Okay? What to let go and what to embrace. So you have to formally recognize what is there as you look in the mirror. See what effects that defect has caused in your life and be willing to replace it with this positive counterpart trait. as you read the following character defects, take special note of what resonates within. And when you feel that special vibe that says, yeah, this one sure fits me all right. You know, sure fits me all right. Then stop and go further into it. See how that character defect has kept you from your higher self, kept you from honestly seeing what that character defect has been doing to your heart, mind, and soul. Some of these particular defects were taken from the traditional AA 12 steps of recovery, you know. All right. Is everybody getting this? I hope so. It is so important to understand this for sure. Okay? Everybody is getting this, right? Yeah. So, all right. And I know a lot of times people don't want to join in the conversation. They don't want to ask the questions. They just want to listen. And most people actually listen after the show anyway, which is okay. You know, it's okay. Nothing wrong with that. You see? So I just want to make sure everybody, you know, is okay. All right? So if you are listening, you can always hit that number one, and I'll bring you in on the line. Okay? All right. We're about to close pretty soon anyway, so I'm gonna talk about a couple more things. Now, you know what? I'm going to close right here. Yeah. It's a good time to close. I've been talking an hour and, 15 minutes so far, so I think this is a good time to close. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to talk about false pride as a character defect. I talked about jealousy already. False pride. So, again, we want to have healthy, happy, wonderful marriages. You can hold hands and go in the park together and look in one another's eyes and smile and connect, you know, on a different level and have faith together and just be spiritually connected. Have a wonderful relationship. It's not impossible. You can have it. You know? Don't hate one another. You know, if it's not right, look, if it's really not right for you, hey, by yourself. Get rid of it. I know divorce is not happy. It's not, you know, God doesn't like divorce, but if you have to do it, then you can do it. You want what's happy and healthy for you. Those sins living a miserable, depraved life. You know? You ride around until the wife turns the light off. Then you come home knowing that she's asleep now. You can slip in there and go to sleep without hearing her mouth. Huh? Don't have it. Don't do it. That's a real sad life. You don't want a sad life. You want a happy life. You want to feel good going home. Connecting with your wife. Connecting with your husband. Feeling good. Yeah. So very important to understand that. So, okay, we're going to stop there. Again, I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book can be bought on www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Okay, also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Get it. This is the basic human manual. Okay, get it. It's very important to do that. All right? Again, the chapters and the process of really evolving to your higher state is number one, forgiveness. Validation. These are also the chapters. Self-esteem. Visualization. Self-esteem. Communication listening skills. Optimism. Gratitude. Faith. Spirituality. Attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery. Identifying and managing emotions. The last one, how to be a mentor to your child self. How you can go back in time and change the feelings of those old negative scenarios that's causing misery and depression in your life right now. That's getting in the way of you having a happy, healthy life. Having a happy, healthy life. Yeah. So this book can do it. It has done. It has saved many lives already. Get your copy, all right? Okay. My show, the Reconnected Show. If you want to hear my show, which I'm host, online, you can go to Blog Talk, after the three W's, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, /reconnected. If you want to tune in, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, just call 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. And listen in like you're doing now on this show. All right? I have guests come on every week talking about different personal growth items that are reflected in my book, Reconnected. Right? Reflected in my book, Reconnected. How about that? Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to, matter of fact, we'll be talking about domestic violence coming up next week. I think we're talking about recovery. Yeah, recovery this weekend, this Saturday, which is related to what I'm talking about now. Yeah. So anyway, so get it, okay? All right. I'm going to end the show just like I started, okay? So very important to understand that I start with peace. I want God's peace only to be with you, okay? So may the peace the only God has with you be with you. As-salamu alaykum.